Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
The Book of Nehemiah. If you'll turn over there, please. Nehemiah, you gotta be kidding. That's kind of the title of the message this morning. I told you a week ago I was gonna preach on, you're gonna think I'm crazy when I get done preaching what I preached this morning. And now you probably already think that, so that's not a big deal. But the book of Nehemiah, at no point in this message do I want to appear like I'm bragging. I am not. And anything I share that anyone may think, that sounds a little braggadocious, that's not it, man. And what I want to do this morning is give all the glory to God. We're not going to belabor that. It's not like that's the kind of message it is. But I do know it can come across that way in at least one point in this message this morning. And I want you to know, I know who I am. I'm a sinner. And I'm saved by grace, and that's it. I have no credentials. I'm saved and surrendered. That's it. And anything that's ever been done that's good, God has done it. And the book of Nehemiah, I think Nehemiah is a great man of God. Nehemiah had it all going. Man, he's the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. It's a position of influence. It's a position of power. No doubt, a position of wealth. And he said goodbye to all of it in order to do God's work. He rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem with all kinds of opposition from without and within in 52 days. That was an act of God. And then he stayed on as governor of the land for another 12 years and didn't take a salary. He's a man of God in many ways. There were those, when they heard what Nehemiah was going to do, man, you got to be kidding, Nehemiah. Ain't no way those walls are going to be rebuilt, not with that rabble of Hebrews that is there that have gone back to the land. And that's what the message is all about this morning. Probably going to preach two chapters, maybe a portion of the third and fourth, and maybe a verse out of the sixth. It isn't going to be a long message. I'm going to try to make it as concise as I can and not belabor. In fact, as fast as I can read some of the scripture, I'm just going to make a quick point about it, and we're going to move on. And this message is a message I want you to get some vision. Next Sunday morning is going to dovetail into this message. And I'm glad, because there's so many people missing this morning. And it happens sometimes as a preacher. I get mad about it, but it happens. And Pastor Bill, I don't know if you feel like I do, but I look out there and see empty seats. It's going to happen. It hasn't happened one time in the month of July. Morning or evening. It hadn't happened one time. God, the place has just been filling up. Glory to God. For whatever reason, people flew the coop this week, went on vacation, whatever. Why don't you stand? Let me read just three verses. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3. I'm going to pray one more quick time. By the way, the word Nehemiah means Jehovah comforts. And he certainly does. Words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. Nehemiah's concern was his beloved city, Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Preacher came out of church one Sunday night. Little boy out there with his Daisy BB gun, and he's shooting up in the air. And the preacher said, son, what are you doing? He said, preacher, I'm shooting at the moon. And the preacher laughed and said, son, you're never going to hit the moon with that BB gun. And the little boy looked up at him and very solemnly said, maybe so, pastor, but right now I'm coming a whole lot closer than you are. And you know, we got to have goals. We got to have things to shoot for. Otherwise, we just end up maintaining status quo. I'm not built that way. I know you're not built that way, or you would not have lasted here very long. I have vision for this church. I know what God desires for this church in this upper peninsula of Michigan that we live, and this county in which we reside. Fundamental is not a perfect church yet. We will be one day. We're going to be made like Jesus. We're going to receive our glorified bodies, and we'll be presented to Christ, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. That day is in the future. That day is after the rapture. But this is a place to find God. If you're someone that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior, this is a place to find Christ. This is a place to grow personally and grow in the mercy and the grace of God and learn Scripture. Fundamental is a place to raise your families with core values, old-time religion kind of values, Judeo-Christian values. Fundamental is a place to bring others that you want to see get saved and you want to see grow in grace. We're a long ways from being exactly what God wants us to be. But by the grace of God, where we have gotten to so far, we've gotten to by faith. God has blessed us in many, many ways. Nehemiah, going back to him right now, he was a builder. He was a visionary. He was a leader. He gave it all up. Gave all the comforts of the palace up in order to serve God. Look at verse 4. Let me read again verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. The walls are down. The people are afflicted. They are a reproach. They are ashamed. It's a desperate situation, Nehemiah. I would tell you this morning, in looking at our Jerusalem and the county of Chippewa County, we're in a desperate situation. The walls are broken down. The county overall is in spiritual darkness. We have a generation, the next generation, is a generation with no hope. There needs to be a lighthouse. We're not the only lighthouse. I am not implying that this morning. But I do know that we're the biggest. And I do know Jesus said, if you lift me up, I draw all men unto me. I know he was talking about Calvary. I know he was talking about the cross. And that same Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Someone has got to become like Nehemiah and get desperate. And understand, Nehemiah's response was prayer. Now, I would say this morning before I get to verses 4 and 5. We are blessed of God. I look around, and without being prideful, I recognize what God has done. There were nearly 20 teenagers that received Christ out in Teen 2, Camp 2, this week of the Teen Week, this last week. God blessed immensely. While the preacher was preaching, it was Teen 1 that week. I think it was the third week of camp. I try to stand in the back. I want to be there in the tabernacle. If there's a problem, if there's decisions that need to be made, I'm there. The counselors are there as well. They come back at the appropriate time. But I kind of stand in the back and kind of watch around. I listen to all the preaching while the preaching is just getting started. Some of us go out by a prayer rock and we get on our knees and we pray and ask God to bless. And we can hear the preaching going on in the preaching shed. It's a wonderful experience. Go back in. And while the preaching was going on, when week 3 of camp, I kind of turned my back on the pulpit and I was kind of looking over the grounds. Afterwards, the preacher came to me, he has a preacher's heart. He said, I know what you were doing back there, Pastor. I said, well, what was that? He said, you were marveling at all the things that God has done here at Camp Canaan Land over the years. He said, boy, you got me, I told him, you got me nailed down. That's exactly what I was doing. 17 buildings out there. We did it without any money. God did it without any money. 17, and souls week after week after week, junior campers and senior campers coming to Christ. What a glorious thing that is. I stand here on the grounds of Fundamental Baptist Church, and I look at what we have here, and I don't know how many buildings we got here right now, but how God is blessed, and blessed immensely. And I look out, none of us are rich. And I recognize that in the 37 years, it's going to be 38 years when January comes around, how God is blessed, and all the glory goes to God. Glory to God. But I look at the county and at the peninsula in which we live, and it's in spiritual darkness. And there's so many, they have no idea what the truth is. Nehemiah caught this burden. Nehemiah understood, man, Jerusalem has got to be rebuilt. And once you catch that burden, by the way, there's one response. And Nehemiah made the right response. Verses 4 and 5, we'll just read those two verses to start with. And that response was prayer. We must call on God. As a New Testament local church, there needs to be people here in this church family that are the genuine prayer warriors. And you call on God for everything. And you call and you ask for the blessings of God upon this ministry. Look at verse 4. It says, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and I mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, and great and the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. He prayed for mercy. He confesses national sin here in just a few moments in a couple of verses. And he asked God for success. And you talk about an impossible situation. He asked God to reverse the king's ruling out of Ezra and chapter 4 and verse 21. He is asking God to turn the heart of the king, asking God to turn the heart of a pagan king and to do the supernatural. Nehemiah, you got to be crazy. You don't have any money. You don't have any wherewithal. You have no military. The people are in reproach. Raiders just come and overrun Jerusalem whenever they want and take whatever treasures and whatever harvest they've gathered together and just plunder. The people are discouraged. The people are in reproach. It's a city of darkness. They don't have the word of God there. Nehemiah, you got to be crazy. But he goes to God and he asks for a miracle. If I can just this morning, in this morning's message, get a few people that are willing to be crazy right along with me, right along with your preacher, and believe that God can do. Man, God's blessed us. It's a great thing. It's a great ministry. I pastor exactly the kind of church I've always wanted to pastor. What a way to go out. Man, if God will give me 10 or 15 more years, Lord willing, and we can just keep. Here's the deal. We're not done yet. We haven't reached everybody yet. We have no way reached our maximum. You say maximum capacity on a normal Sunday morning. We're there last Sunday night. We were the Sunday night before. We were there. And I'm telling you, we're not done yet. Your vision is too small. You're looking at things through human eyes. There's got to be a church of 1,000 people in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Man, if the Lord, I mean a gospel preaching church. I mean a dynamite church. I mean a Philadelphia church, the church of the open door that has little strength, no money, and God just keeps pouring into it. That's exactly what we need in the Upper Peninsula, a lighthouse, if you will. Go back and look at Nehemiah's prayer. Verse 6 says, "Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned." If you don't think we are in a county of darkness, I've read different statistics. The most recent statistic I've read is that 75% of millennials, once they graduate from high school, they go off to college and they leave Christianity. 75%. And I've read above that and I've read below that. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm telling you, we have got to invest in the next generation. We cannot just maintain status quo. Now, the percentages at Fundamental Baptist Church, we're a whole lot better than that. Now, I don't know if you figured it out yet or not. You may know of a few kids that have kind of gone by the wayside, and there have been some. There have been losses. Some of them will come back. Some of them went out from us because they were not of us. That's a problem. They weren't genuinely born again. We've got to double down. We've got to do more for the glory of God. We've got to ask God to increase enlarge our tent, if you will. Use an Old Testament terminology. Enlarge our tent for the glory of God. This church belongs to Christ. Nehemiah saw the city and the walls broken down and the people in reproach and the shame upon it. He called upon it. He wept for days. He prayed, "God, please." He fasted, "God, please. You made some promises. You promised if we forsook you that things would go bad." We're there. But God, you also promised if we turn back, you would bless us again. And God, we want to be there. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their sin, heal their land, and forgive their sin." We still worship that God. Let's read the rest of his prayer here. "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations." Verse 9. "But if ye return unto me," if ye turn unto me, "and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there." He claimed the promise of Scripture. He said, "God, you promised you'd bless your people. You'd bless the city of Jerusalem. Now we're in reproach and the walls are down. It's because we turned from you. 70 years of captivity, it's because of our stupid sin. And we turned unto idols and left the true God of heaven." And make no mistake about it, God chastises. God judges sin. And it gets worse and worse. But God, you said if we would turn unto you, you would bless our land. That you would visit us again. Verse 11, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. He was concerned about going before the king. He understood that if he stood before the king with a sad countenance, it was law, he could execute you. He was a pagan king. And Nehemiah was going to risk his life to do the work of God. He had that kind of burden. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, it came to pass in the month of Nisan, the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. By the way, there's always an element of fear in faith. That's what makes faith precious and sweet and exciting. If there wasn't an element of fear, it really wouldn't be faith. Peter getting out of the boat. If faith didn't have fear as a part of it, it really wouldn't be faith. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 11, and I got to make this very quick, but I do want you to see it. Hebrews in chapter 11, if you would turn there. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Don't have time to read the chapter. Verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 9, by faith. Verse 11, through faith. Verse 13, in faith. Over 20 times in chapter 11, it says, by faith. By faith. By faith. You see, if there wasn't, and there's always a little bit of fear in faith, because we have to trust God. We have to take him at his word. As a church, we have come this far by faith. There wasn't a sugar daddy somewhere that pulled out his checkbook and wrote a check for what we needed. That's not how it works. Well, it could work that way sometime. And if God lays it on your heart, I'm good with that, right? But that's not how it's working. That's not how it's worked at Fundamental Baptist Church. And maybe that has something to do with the leadership here. I don't know. We don't have a sugar daddy. We've got a heavenly father. And he said, if you'll just have a little faith, we have come this far by faith. The old song says, trusting in the Lord. It's that simple. Go back to Nehemiah now, Nehemiah in chapter 2. Everything Nehemiah is doing, he's doing by faith. Now he's going to step out before a pagan king, an idol worshiper, one that doesn't worship the Lord God Jehovah. And he knows that chances are his life is over because that's what's been evidenced in the past. He is so burdened, he can't hide the sadness. And since the king recognized it, Nehemiah said, he kind of blurts some prayers out. You can read it here in chapter 2, and he just kind of tells the king what's on his heart. Verse 4 says, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make a request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. He shoots it out again. Verse 5 says, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst, and I kind of see him taking a big deep breath here, and he kind of blurts it all out, that thou wouldst send me unto Judah, unto the city of my fathers, and the sepulchers, that I may build it. And the king said unto him, the queen also sitting by him, how long are you going to be there? And I said, for when wilt thou return? And so it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, yeah, I might as well shoot for the moon, right? If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto, some more, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me, I underlined in my Bible the word give, he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. God provided all the money, all the building material. I'm saying, the king provided all the money and all the building material and all that was needed, and even in the next few verses, a military, an armed military escort back to Jerusalem. If I told you all that I dream of for Fundamental Baptist Church, that's where, see, up to this point, you'd say, I'm with you, preacher. Man, I'm with you. You would say I'm crazy. My vision goes far beyond what most people here would even attempt to take a bite of. We don't have money. We don't have assets to fall back on. We just move ahead by faith. This connector building, you say, we get that done, whew, then I can take a breath. That's not how it works here. We just finished all those weeks of Bible camp out at Canaan Land. You know what's happening tomorrow? Vacation Bible school. No rest for the wicked, if I could loosely use that terminology here this morning. And then after vacation Bible school, we've got the Michigan Revival Choir. We're going downstate. Then after that, man, we've got Maplewood Baptist Academy. And after that, man, we've got a Christian school camp get together with three other Christian schools. And after that, then we've got the old school gathering. And after that, we've got a friend day coming up in the month of October. And after that, we go into the holidays. Man, not a lot of rest time there. Not a lot of downtime. Buildings are nothing more than tools. I'll get ahead of my message here this morning, but I'm quickly running out of time, so I want to get to this. The connector building is a tool. I'm telling you, when the connector building is finished, it's going to be a beautiful building. It will enhance our ministry so much. You'll see that next Sunday, right? When the connector building is finished, we've got a footprint all made. We've got to add on to the west of this building a bigger foyer and bathrooms and bigger bathrooms and nursery. That's all got to be added on there, and we'll gut this building out right to the closure doors, the doors and the airlock in the back, and enlarge the auditorium that way. Say, well, then we'll be done. No, we won't. Then we're going to add on to this side of the building up here, and we're going to put a wing on to this side of the building over here. And I'm telling you, then we're not done then. We've got to have a parking lot out behind the Heritage Center. We add on there. We're not done then. Man, we're going to keep on growing. I've got more. I just maybe I don't have enough life. I don't know, but I've got more. Because my Bible tells me in the book of Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. You say, will you ever see all of that? Maybe not, but we're going to see more. That little boy shooting at the moon, he may not ever hit the moon, but he was getting a whole lot closer than everybody else. You need to decide this morning whether you're just interested in being a maintainer or you want to be a pioneer, a soldier. I can remember a group coming out and looking at Canaan Land 10 years ago. And I remember the wife of the man that was looking at the camp. They were looking at renting the camp, and it wasn't up to her standards. Wasn't up to a lot of people's standards. But I remember she walked in there and she looked at the kitchen, and I saw her face, and I knew, well, they ain't renting the camp. But the truth is, now they rent a camp that is lesser than Canaan Land. I love being the pioneer. Remember the old tin tabernacle? You know, this church started in a farmhouse, way out in Fiber. Then it went to a pool hall. Then it went to a tin building, a metal building we called the Tin Tabernacle. And we froze to death. And those that survived, we moved over to the base chapel over here. And by the way, we froze to death over there too. I remember that. Hard to build a church in the wintertime when you don't have enough heat. And then God gave us this property. It was an old farm on this property. It was basically a landfill. We're still finding tin cans out back. You know how the old Uper farmers were back then. And we just keep building, and we keep building, and we keep advancing the cause of Christ. There is so much that needs to be done. There's so much. But all of the building stuff, and I'm going to say more about that next week, they're tools. The church is people. But without the tools, you don't reach more people. But we don't use our people to build our work. We use our work to build our people. That's godly. That's biblical. That is right. But God and Nehemiah used the people of God to rebuild the walls. He had a plan. He got organized. I'll preach it next week. He had a plan. He got organized. There was opposition all along the way. There were the naysayers all along the way. There were people saying it couldn't get done, but they finished it in 52 days. And everybody was amazed. The people had a mind to work. Nehemiah got a vision. In Nehemiah and chapter 2, it says in verse 10, when Sanballat, no, I'll skip that, verse 12, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, because they would have thought he was crazy. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. It was so broken down. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. People were in distress. And from here on, I'll pick up next Sunday morning, but he presents his vision to the people. And that's what I'm going to try to do next Sunday morning. Present the vision. And if some of you got it, but if some more will pick up on the vision, what you'll do is you'll climb down from the wagon and you'll get in the harness and you'll help. I'm telling you this morning, in the years I have left, if the Lord tarries, I need help. I need men. I need women. I need young people who are willing to be leaders and get the work of God done. I've not lost any vision. I've not lost my passion. I know for us that every step we take, it has to be a step of faith. Man, I understand that. And there's always a little bit of fear with faith. It'd be really easy to be a wallflower, sit in the back, not push anything, just be a minister, give you some Bible studies. Quit having the altar call because there's pressure there, man, because what if somebody doesn't come? I'd be embarrassed. Quit reaching out. Quit trying to enlarge the tent. Quit witnessing to the neighbors. Quit telling people that I know about Jesus, people that I meet and happenstance meet about Christ, because I meet people all from all over this county every day of the week. And so do you. And they're all prospects for the family of God. They're all prospects of being forgiven, born again, and adopted into the family of God. Next Sunday morning, I'll preach the plan devised and the presentation of the vision and the people's determination. There's a whole lot to do in the work of God. And I trust this morning that what people hear with vision. I'm going to go back to the very first thing I said here this morning in closing. Fundamental Baptist Church is a place to find God. If you're here and you're not born again, we have seen so many people get saved this summer. What a summer it has been. In fact, what a spring it was. But we can't rest on our laurels. There's more that need to be reached. And give glory to God every step of the way. What an opportunity we have. Nehemiah, you got to be kidding. When you read the book of Nehemiah and then the celebration of chapter 8. Oh, man. And I'm telling you, God wants to do more here at Fundamental. If tonight is like last Sunday night, and even more so the Sunday night before, I'll get this chart out and this place will be packed. Now, last Sunday night, we were a little less than packed, but it was at least this size of crowd. I'm expecting God to do great things. Hey, there's a bunch of Methodists coming again tonight. They're hungry for the Word of God. Amen. And they said, what an opportunity this is. And if you'll just catch some of the vision, 1,000 people in a New Testament local church that wholly belongs to God, that isn't about pride or building up a denomination, but about being New Testament Christians and a New Testament child of God, packed with fundamentalists, people that are willing to be those soldiers, pioneers, if you will. I said this a week ago, I'll say it again, you know, Canaanland gets any better, we're going to have to find a different camp to go to, because I won't feel like a pioneer going there anymore, you know. God wants to do so much. Hey, this building out here, we're taking that Nehemiah offering next Sunday morning. I'm going to try to be the biggest giver to that, but I want to challenge you. I got some good news. God provided all the money we need, $28,000. He provided it all. I got some bad news. It's still in your pockets. You pray about it this week. Step out of the boat, man. Step out of the boat. Maybe you'll, by faith, be able to walk on water.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.